Our first lesson is located in the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to you your strongholds, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare, I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. And the epistle lesson for this day is recorded in Romans chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do not do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's been here for the services that have been held since the church reopened? And who's here for the first time besides Gloria and me? Welcome. It's good to see you all. It's good to be able to gather once again. What a long drought that was. But thank God, smart pastors are able to figure out how to fill in that time for us and keep us in the Word. Today, what an appropriate invitation Jesus has for us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you, my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's taken a lot of thought on the part of your leadership here and your pastor to determine how to best meet together once again, and I see by the blue tape you've worked it out pretty well, and I thank God for that. You had to answer a lot of questions. How can we meet and not spread the virus? And at the same time, as individuals, we all had to figure out, is it safe now for me to come back to church? So it's rather fitting today that Jesus says, come. So today, I want us to consider who is asking us to come. How long will it take? Where is he taking us? What is he asking us to do? And why? I know that Jesus wants everyone to be saved, but our text today doesn't say that, does it? It says that he wants just the weary and worn out, those who are burdened by life. In other words, he's not inviting the wealthy, the energetic, or self-satisfied. He exclusively asks only the weary and burdened. It's neat, though, that Jesus doesn't limit the type of weariness or burdens we feel we're carrying. For example, you could be weary from being homebound or working from home, or being sick even, or of old age aches and pains, perhaps arguing with a family member, or too many people asking for your help. So anyone who's weary is told to come. Remember when Jesus encountered the woman in Samaria at the well? She, you would think, would be the last person who would come. After all, she was in and out of relationships, a promiscuous life. And yet, when Jesus spoke the words to her to come, she not only came, but she brought along friends as well. Why doesn't he ask for the healthy, the energetic, the successful to come? Doesn't he want them? Well, of course he does. But he also knows the truth that they probably would feel it's a waste of their time. I know when our kids were little and Gloria and I said to them, it's time for your nap, it was almost like the torturous words of life from a parent. They would run off or hide or do something else. My mom recalls that when I was little and it was time for my nap, she'd literally have to go to bed with me and hold my legs between her legs to keep me from moving around so I'd take a nap. So who are those who don't want to come to Jesus? Those who are too busy to rest. Everything's going well for them. They're healthy. They're successful. Business is going well. They have a happy and active life. Isn't that really what Jesus wants for each of us? You and I must ask ourselves, what type of a sinner am I? Am I realizing that I need rest? Or is life too busy for me? Another question to consider this morning is, if suppose we were to come to Jesus and we would have to know where he is. For example, some people think that Jesus is in nature or in the trees or animals or in our own heart. And those are true to some extent, but it's not the way he really comes to us, is it? When you get to a certain location once in a while, you think of a loved one who has gone before, who you remember really liked that area, and you bring up memories of that. Or you hear a song played, and those memories remind you of them. Well, memories are important, but they're not the same as having the person right there. And so Jesus is more than a memory. He tells us in chapter 18 of Matthew, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. He claims to actually be where his word is spoken and read, where people gather to proclaim him in faith. This is why church is so important. And in fact, Jesus is right here with us today. He's with us in his word, in the melodies of the music that we typically sing, his presence in the Lord's Supper that we'll gather to receive in a little while, where he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is the new covenant in my name. This is where we receive Jesus, brought through the waters of baptism ourselves and also able to bring our family into the presence of God through baptism. This is a sacred place. Jesus is here this morning to receive our messy lives. He's here to not remind us to stop fighting, but to rest for our souls. When your spouse gets ill, or say your parents are getting aged and need more assistance and care, they may ask you to take care of them, and that's a big burden. You start to think, well, maybe they should go to rehab or else long care assistance in a home. But Jesus doesn't do that to us, does he? He knew how much work it would be to receive us. He knew the time it would take for us to come, and yet he tells us, come to me anyway. He wants us to come for one purpose, and that's to give us rest, the rest we so desperately need. You know, when Jesus became incarnate, took on flesh and blood of a human being, it says he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and died on the cross under Pontius Pilate, and died that we might live, and he lives to bring us forgiveness and life in his name. If you came here this morning all worn out, filled with stress and anger, Jesus is here for you, not to yell at you, to tell you to straighten up or get your life in order, but he's here to forgive and to receive us as holy, precious children of God. He doesn't expect us to match any standards or to receive his forgiveness. If you're tired, come, find rest. If you're working your tail off in order to pay your bills, you soon find that Jesus already paid the greatest bill ever made. And that is when he declared from the cross, tetelestai, paid in full, it is finished. We don't owe God 1 cent for the greatest gift of life we can receive. And it's not even how much we put in the offering plate. Not only rest today, but for all eternity. We receive because he's risen from the dead, we too will live. One day, you and I will be able to run like we've never run before, to jump and see things and hear things like we've never done before. Why? Because he lives. You too will live. Maybe you already know you're forgiven. Maybe you are anxious to do something. You want to make a difference in this world. I can respect that. I too do not care for sitting around all that much and doing nothing. So Jesus invites us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Think about what a yoke is. It wasn't just some hewn out piece of wood that one size fits all, but rather after the rough cut was made, then you would bring your animal to the carpenter and he would hew away at that wood so that it fit that animal perfectly without causing them additional pain or struggles. And in that way, two animals could be yoked together to do the work of plowing. That's the invitation that Jesus has given to us as well, not to be lazy, but to join him in this boundless energy of living life to the full with him. There's a book titled Escape from Camp 14. It's an incredible story about a young man who was born in a North Korean prison. He was taught from little on to confess his faults, and when he did, he would be beaten in front of the class by his teacher to show how wrong it was. Not only was he taught to tell on himself, but he was also taught to snitch on others. And so one day, a little girl was found with some corn in her pocket, and she died for that, was beaten to death because of the corn, 6 grains in her pocket. He overheard his mother and brother talking about escaping from the prison camp. And so he told the authorities and too had to watch them be executed before his very eyes. He thought he would be rewarded for telling, but instead he was hung by his ankles and his arms over a hot coals until his back was full of blisters. And then he was taken off of the spit and thrown into a dungeon underground where he could not see anything. Into a prison, there was a man named Uncle. Now, Uncle was the one who nursed him back to health. And that's the interesting part of the story. Because in the midst of all this hopelessness and despair, Uncle gave him hope. He talked to him about a world outside of the prison that he had never experienced himself. And so there in that dark prison, Uncle gave Shin a reason to live, and Shin was never the same again. He wasn't content living in that prison, North Korea, and along the way he escaped, and he ran into some missionaries who enabled him to get to the U.S. where he could tell his story. Doesn't a similar thing happen to us as Christians? If we try to live our life without being yoked to Jesus, the weight is too much to bear. Sooner or later, this life wears us out. So Jesus puts the yoke of the law and our failures around his own neck. He bears that burden of sin so that you and I are free. He doesn't yell at us, but he's gentle and humble in heart. Whatever struggles we may have, he makes easy because we are yoked to him. It's an interesting thing that when you put a toddler down to take a nap, they are kicking and whining initially, but if they lie down and don't get up, they soon find the beauty of rest and sleep. And pretty soon they're refreshed and able to go on again without being grumpy anymore. Jesus doesn't invite us to rest, to torture us, but to bless us. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In a sense, that's why we're here today and every Sunday, to find rest with Jesus so that we have the energy to live the life he's entrusted to us. How did you make it through the past few months of sheltering in place? Was it enjoyable? Did you miss gathering in church? I know I had to learn to put on clothes today to come be with you instead of just turning on my computer and watching services. But I missed some things. I missed the confession of faith as we do in our creeds. I missed speaking the words of forgiveness and hearing the pastor tell us, "You are forgiven, go in peace." I miss joining with brothers and sisters in Christ, praying those words of the Lord's Prayer. How blessed we are to gather together once again around the Word of God and his promises, and to hear Jesus say, "Welcome home." The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.